So does this work capture or reflect an important moment? And if so, what is it? Well, I would say there are several important moments captured by the work. The first is that these works capture something about the conquest of Australia. Australia was the last continent to be reached by European colonial powers, and it was, you know, the final frontier of empire, and it had a very big impact, actually, the settlement of Australia, on British society and on world society, as well as on the people who lived in Australia. Australia became a very important part or component of the British Empire in the 19th century, a source of important raw materials, especially wool, a source of bullion during the gold rushes of the 1860s in Australia, and a place of emigration for British people who couldn't fit into British society, whether because they were poor and lacked opportunities, or because they were from a wealthy background, but due to the tendency of wealthy British families to prefer their eldest children, the younger children might have gone to Australia. And for example, you can see this Australia whole culture in the famous novel by Charles Dickens, Great Expectations, where Pip, the main character, receives a huge boon of cash and only finds out at the end that the cash has actually come from an Australian ex-convict. So his whole identity, even though he's never been to Australia, is linked to Australia. So if you want to get an Australian view of what was happening at this corner of the British Empire, then you really need to read authors like Charles Harper or Eliza Hamilton Dunlop, who give you that eyewitness account of what was happening. The second key moment is one I've already mentioned, which is that this was a time when there were significant political transformations going on in Australia. And I'll just to make that really specific, the New South Wales achieved manhood suffrage, that is, every white man was given the vote in 1856. To be clear, this wasn't achieved in the United Kingdom until the early 20th century. And later on, Australia would also be one of the first countries to give women the vote. Sadly, it was only finally in 1967 that all Indigenous peoples were absolutely guaranteed the vote, though by then most of them did actually have it. So Australia was also a laboratory for democratic ideas in the 19th century, and it was a place that Europeans looked to understand what was going on. So there were actually many famous British politicians who first cut their teeth in Australian politics. The famous example of that is Robert Lowe, the famous albino MP, who coined the phrase in 1867 when the second reform bill went through Britain, which widened the franchise. We must now educate our masters. If you've ever heard that phrase, it's from Robert Lowe. And he cut his teeth in Australian politics. So both Harper and Dunlop were deeply involved in this struggle for self-rule in New South Wales. Harper, in fact, was labelled by Henry Parkes, the most successful politician of the time, as the intellectual force behind self-rule. He was the one who came up with the ideas in his poetry and his short essays. So if you'd like to have an insight into the evolution of democratic political institutions in the 19th century, one of the places where these battles were fought and won most quickly was colonial Australia. And you can get an insight into that by reading the political poetry of writers like these.